Hi, and welcome back to Part 2 of Unit 5, Fundamentals of Usability in HIT Systems, What Does It Matter? In Part 1, we dealt with the general principles of usability. In Part 2, we are going to apply those principles in the world of health and healthcare, specifically focusing on usability of HIT systems. So what happens when users are forced to use a system with poor usability? As I mentioned before, user satisfaction declines and frustration increases. Safety-critical environments like healthcare, the cockpit of an airplane, a nuclear reactor control room, is no place for systems that engender dissatisfaction and frustration in users. Users are good eggs. They'll usually try to adapt when a system first comes out. But eventually, systems with poor usability will result in user resistance to use, or worse yet, an out-and-out staff mutiny. Much of the current literature is pointing to the low usability of currently available HIT systems as a significant cause of low adoption rates. As we discussed in the last slide, poorly designed HIT results in workarounds, like in the Capel article, creating extra copies of barcoded medication labels so that the nurses could avoid having to push the heavy and awkward computers on wheels, also known as COWs, into a patient room. So instead, the staff scan the extra labels in the hallways from their pockets to avoid having to push that cow into the room. So when I think about all the lightweight and mobile technologies that are available today, why design a 70-pound cow and make it part of the medication administration process? Of course people are going to find workarounds, wouldn't you? Of course, scanning the extra barcode label that the staff created and put in their pocket defeats the purpose of barcode scanning in the first place. The barcode should be on the medication and on the patient's armband so that the label and the drug can be scanned and matched. That's how you know you're given the right drug to the right patient. Extra labels in the pocket is just an accident waiting to happen. And it's all from the lack of a user-centered approach to the design of the solution. So here is where we start to see the unintended consequences of HIT that has not gone through the full user-centered design cycle. There are many issues related to poor HIT usability that can be observed in most, if not all, EHRS systems on the market today. So examples include overly cluttered screen design, like the web page example you see on this slide, poor use of available screen space, and inconsistencies in screen design. So a busy user does not have the time to interpret a jammed screen of data, particularly if it's not arranged well on the screen and or if the layout changes with every screen switch. So the best example I could think of is when you go to click the next button as you're progressing through some series or some process, and the button is in the lower, like, right-hand side of the screen, and you click it to go to the next screen, and then the next button then all of a sudden shifts over to the left side of the screen. You know, it drives me nuts. So as a user, I want to find the next button in nearly the same area each and every time. So I don't have to take my eyes off the screen to look at the mouse, to maneuver the mouse to the other side of the screen to hit the next button. What you'll see here in this illustration is really poor use of screen design. As a clinician, the values that I want to see, the data that is important to me, is in over towards the right-hand side of that display. All the rest of that stuff to me as a clinician is relatively unimportant. I want to see the blood values. But what this is doing is that it has allocated a lot of screen space to stuff that is not really important to the user base. Another example that you'll see in HIT are lists that can't be easily sorted and screens that are hard to read or annotate, and then also screens that have a lack of appropriate safeguards to prevent you from doing the wrong thing in the first place or entering incorrect data. Now, if you do enter the wrong data, there has to be an easy way to correct it. So have you ever experienced one of those input screens where you enter like a whole page of data and then you make an error and you go back to fix it and all the data disappears and you have to start over again? Or how about a process that doesn't allow you to go back or exit until you finish the entire thing? That is a way to drive your users insane. A hard-to-read screen is an issue as well. An 8-point font begs for an error, as does a list that looks like this. The first 15, 20 characters all look the same. Now, how easy on that particular list is it going to be to pick the wrong thing? So a lack of safeguards, as I mentioned earlier, such as a system that allows a user to make an obvious mistake, like an automatic change of a value from kilograms to pounds without notification, or a slot that allows a user to enter an out-of-range value, such as a temperature of 150 degrees, is another example of design that facilitates error. So systems that are not intuitive are also problematic, although it should never be assumed that a total novice could come in and learn to use an HIT system without training. Again, I bring you back to the bicycle example. Most of us had a lot of skinned knees and banged up elbows before we learned to ride a two-wheeler. You would never expect any system to be intuitive enough that anybody could come in without training and know how to use it. But basically, once a system basics are learned, a well-designed HIT system will be intuitive enough for a user to begin to explore and to figure out many things on their own. So why does this really matter? The intent of HIT is to increase ease of use, safety, efficiency, and reduce error. Yet the literature is showing us that sometimes it does just the opposite. And it matters because we should not support products that run counter to the objectives. It will matter more and more as HIT continues to roll out and users become more and more savvy. The pressure to produce highly usable systems will increase. We cannot get to the desired state of automated records if they are unusable or if they continue to spawn new classes of errors. In the rush to qualify for meaningful use of EHRS and to obtain the incentives, usability may not be the foremost thing on an administrator's mind until the user satisfaction plummets, errors begin to rise, and the efficiency gains that you spent the money on the system for in the first place are not realized. As the patient acuity in hospitals continues to rise, something we call the quicker and sicker phenomena, there is a pressing need for usable systems that support efficient workflow. So shorter lengths of stay and complex patient presentations require very focused attention. There is no room for distracting systems that require additional cognition to figure out. So aging populations, not only patients, but the providers, require special attention to the design of systems that are usable by those with weakening eyes and less fine motor control. Again, this points back to user-centered design. One size does not fit all, and adaptation is necessary. So the final objective is to discuss strategies for dealing with HIT usability bottlenecks. First, you must know your user. Watch your user. Listen to your user. If you don't understand the issues, it will be impossible to work to improve them. Your job is also to educate users on how to avoid buying and implementing systems that violate basic principles. Remember those six components of a usable system. Knowing that can help you to help them. Is error recovery easy? Is the system easy to learn? Or is it so complex that every day the users will have to relearn what they did the day before? Does it do what they, meaning they, the users, need it to do, not what the vendor says they need to do? Ensuring adequate access to workstations or devices is imperative. When computers are in short supply, contention for computers can be very, very high in very busy clinical work areas, especially after like morning rounds. This leads to workarounds, missed documentation, and enhances the chance of a medical error. Integrated systems that exchange data freely can reduce error. It's commonplace for users to have to log in to several disparate systems that contain just parts of a patient's record. This increases the cognitive load of users, forcing them to remember numerous passwords, to go on an information-seeking trek to find bits and pieces of data that's scattered across separate systems, and this ultimately increases the chance of error. This is a really big challenge in today's world of HIT and probably will not be one that you yourself will be able to solve. However, as an HIT professional, part of your responsibility is to be aware of the usability bottlenecks, to critically think about how to reduce or eliminate them, and to advocate for interoperable HIT. Preparing for change and the learning curves that are inherent in systems implementation is also very, very important. Computerization of ordering can dramatically affect the care delivery process, as the patterns of communication, cooperation, and collaborative work must shift to accommodate the technology. These sort of factors should be addressed before implementation. As noted in the reading by Campbell et al., productivity often improves over time in a well-designed system as users gain proficiency with the technology. It's going to be tough at the start. If it's well-designed, it will get better. Finally, a system developed with user-centered principles will model and support the workflow and support all groups of users. So health and healthcare involves a variety of users, including the patient and their family. And again, recalling the principles of user-centered design and usable systems, studying, understanding, and modeling the user base is the way to improve usability. A highly usable system will support the entire work process and the entire care team, not just a single user group. Ultimately, usability is a large concern, from the way the cockpit of a jet is designed all the way down to the way that your toaster works. What we have learned over years and years of producing less than optimally designed HIT is that we must change the way we think about usability and how we design systems for health and healthcare. As Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So we have to approach usability of HIT systems in a new way. It's no longer an afterthought. Poor usability in safety-critical healthcare environments may be a matter of life or death. So to close out this unit, let's just take a quick look back at the objectives. We defined usability and we related usability principles to HIT. We also discussed why it matters and some strategies for identifying and reducing or eliminating HIT bottlenecks. We also discussed how HIT usability impacts user satisfaction, adoption, and workarounds. And we also covered how poor usability can contribute to error rates and/or spawn unintended consequences. A hands-on exercise will follow. Thank you very much. This completes Unit 5. Have a great day.